compound of Chovas HaLevavos, the Yashuv HaKotei Mechetov B'nei Hashem, and Chovas HaEvarim V'Yitvadel. Rav Bednarsh, in terms of his own life, symbolizes a similar synthesis in the world of the Torah, in which, to him, his learning of Torah is his spiritual oxygen. He lives Torah, he breathes Torah, and Baruch Hashem, in terms of the world of Maaseh, he serves as an exemplar of a Ben Torah, with honesty, integrity, keeping the highest halachic standards, and has the unique ability to teach Torah with a tremendous clarity and Baruch Hashem brilliance. I introduce to you Rav Bednarsh.
Thank you, Rav Miller, for those kind exaggerations. The topic I'd like to learn together tonight is, if we skip around a little to Makor number 6 on the back of the page, I underlined a very few words at the end, a minhag that we're all very familiar with, I think, from Gan, perhaps, v'nag levakish mechila be'erev Yom Kippur. There's a minhag that on Erev Yom Kippur, we approach those whom we have wronged, those whom we have a strained relationship with, and we ask for forgiveness. Why do we have such a minhag? So before we get to the source of this specific minhag in the Gemara, the answer should be very clear. We're all familiar with the principle mentioned in the first two Makorot here, two Mishnayot, that there's a difference between Avirot Ben Adam L'Makom and Ben Adam L'Chaveiro. Those sins between us and Hashem, it suffices to do a proper tshuva and we'll be forgiven. But those sins, Ben Adam L'Chaveiro, in addition to apologizing, as it were, to Hashem, we have to make it up to our fellow man. Just to introduce this concept, there's a Mishnah in Bava Kamma, Makor 1, talking about someone who assaulted his friend, even if you pay the money you owe, you're still not forgiven until you also apologize. As Hashem instructed Avimelech, Melech Plishtim, that in addition to returning Sarah to Abraham, he had to apologize and ask Abraham to forgive him and daven for him. Etc. And how do we know, of course, that if someone does apologize and ask for forgiveness, even if they have wronged you in a very deep way, you should not be cruel, but you should be forgiving? Because Abraham was wronged in a very, very intimate fashion by Avimelech, and nonetheless, he davened to him. Not only did he forgive Avimelech, but he davened to Hashem to heal Avimelech and his household. This idea that if one sins towards one's fellow man in order to receive forgiveness and do tshuva properly, you have to apologize, is perhaps more famous from the Mishnah in the 8th parak of Masechet Yoma, where the Gemara talks about the concept of tshuva, number 2, and this is where we actually get the phrases Bein Adam L'Makom and Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, which are such basic concepts in our mitzvot. Avirot Shebin Adam L'Makom, reading Makor number 2, Yom Kippur Mechaper. Avirot Shebin Adam L'Chaveiro, Ein Yom Kippur Mechaper, Chiratzeh Chaveiro. Avirot, between us and Hashem, Yom Kippur does the trick. It achieves atonement. But Avirot, between myself and my fellow man, Yom Kippur does not help, even with all the tshuva in the world, until I apologize, until I appease my friend. There's a lot of literature, which is not our topic tonight, on why we need to learn the same thing in a Mishnah in Bava Kamma and in a Mishnah in Masechet Yoma, but perhaps the simplest pshat, maybe not the deepest, but the simplest pshat, is that from Bava Kamma we learn that in the normal course of life, tshuva is not effective until I appease my friend, but Yom Kippur, we may very well have surmised, has power over and above normal life. Perhaps on Yom Kippur, we can be forgiven even without apologizing to our fellow man. So the Mishnah teaches us nonetheless, at Zu Darash Rav Yoz Ben Azayi Mikol Chatotechem Lefnei Hashem Tidharu. The Pasuk shot in the Pasuk is, of course, Mikol Chatotechem Lefnei Hashem Tidharu. From all your sins, you will be purified in front of Hashem. Maybe if I have a drush like this another year, we'll discuss exactly what those words mean. But the drash, the beautiful drash here is, Mikol Chatotechem Lefnei Hashem Tidharu. All your sins in front of Hashem, sins between you and Hashem, you will be cleansed of. That's what Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah darshins. Avir chemin adam lakom yom kippur mechaper. Avir chemin adam lachaviro, ein yom kippur mechaper, ad shi ratzeh chaviro. Okay, the principle is very clear. Ben adam lamakom yom kippur tshuva, we are forgiven. Ben adam lachaviro, we need to ask mechila. Therefore, it makes perfect sense that before Yom Kippur, if we want our tshuva to be accepted and effective, if we want Yom Kippur to achieve the proper kapara, the proper atonement, then we need to fulfill the prerequisites. And we need to apologize to our friend as part of the tshuva process. There's a discussion, the Birkei Yosef here, which the Chidaz Perush on the Shulchan Aruch, brings down a discussion from the Baalei Machshava, from the Baalei Halacha, exactly how much does it share? Exactly how much does it ruin your tshuva if you've wronged your friend and do not make amends? And he quotes Yesh Misha Katav number 3, Dimlo Shavmi Avirot Shavinola Chaviro Gam Avirot Shavinola Makomi No Mekaper Bas Mechei Amat Nitin. Some people say, based on the Mishnah, Mikol Chatotechel Lefnei Hashem Tidharu, you'll only be cleansed if you apologize to your friend and all the sins that are left are between you and God. But if you don't apologize to your friend, Hashem will not forgive you for any sins, neither Meidon Malakum nor Meidon Machaveiro. V'ani Omer Lo Nichle Namarayu B'Hachi. Chida thinks that's going a little far. We don't need the Lame Kategoria Yisrael. We don't need to accuse the Jews of not being forgiven for any sins. You know, there are many people out there who haven't apologized for something wrong they did to their friend. We're going to say they're never forgiven for anything in their whole life? We don't need to come and say bad things about the Jewish people. Mir Kotav. Maharash Gramazin, Bevior, Al Pichodesh, the Bavirich, and on the Chaviro, we can name Chilakavoa, the Choslo, Pius at Chaviro, Dam Chilakavoa, Shabbat, Lo, Nitkaper. However, he quotes here from the Pichodesh, quoting Maharash Gramazin, and the Minchas Chinuch reached the same conclusion that every mitzvah, Bein Adam the Chaviro, is every Aveira, rather, Bein Adam the Chaviro, is also, of course, an Aveira, Bein Adam the Makom. If I steal from my friend, I've hurt my friend, and I've transgressed Hashem's Torah, where he wrote, Lo Tignov. And he posits here, and this is accepted by the majority of the poskim, that if I don't apologize to my friend, even if I pay him back, if I don't apologize to my friend, Hashem will not forgive me for violating Lo Tignov either. Hashem will not forgive, at least in this sin, I will achieve no forgiveness, neither for my friend nor for Hashem, neither for hurting my friend nor for transgressing the Torah, until I apologize to my friend. Therefore, we can start out now fairly confident that we understand this minhag that we all learned in kindergarten. I'm sorry on Erev Yom Kippur, because we want to be forgiven, we want to do tshuva properly, and our tshuva will not be acceptable, will not be effective, will not be complete, unless we apologize to our friend. Now, let us segue from the general philosophical idea of tshuva to the specific minhag of Erev Yom Kippur by way of the Gemara, which comes a little bit after this Mishnah, Makor number 4 in Masechet Yoma. We'll read this Gemara, we will see how the poskim quote this Gemara, and then we'll try to figure out what difficulties lie in understanding this Gemara in the simple level, and how we might solve them with the help of a story about Reb Chaim Soloveitchik. Let's start with the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak. Any good tshuva drasha needs a story about Reb Chaim Soloveitchik. That's clear. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak. Kol hamakil et chaver afilu bedvarim tzarech lefaiso. Anyone who annoys his friend, who offends his fellow, even merely verbally, needs to appease him. Sheneimar b'ni me'im arav t'lo yecha t'akato l'zar kapecha n'kash t'im rifecha. A pasuk from Mishlei, which in a simple shot is dealing with business, complex business dealings. But it says if you have taken responsibility for someone's financial situation, if you have tkiat kaf, here's one of the biblical makorot of the phrase, we have tkiat kaf for a handshake, meaning a handshake of hitchayvot, of agreeing to be responsible for someone. If you have given that handshake over, no kashmari ficha, if you have been ensnared by your words, here is the hint to someone who merely said not nice words to someone. This is what you should do, my son, and be saved. If you come into the hand of your friend, you're responsible for hurting him. Go and humble yourself and appease your friend. And the drash is in mamon yesh biyadcha hachal apisat yad. Hitra pes means open up your palm. If you owe money, open up your palm and pay. V'im lav, if it's not money, if it's merely a verbal dispute. Rehav is harbel of reyim. Bring a lot of friends, apologize to him in public in front of people so that he will see that you're serious about it, so that you really humble yourself. And then you will be saved. It says, how many friends? Three friends, three rows, as it were, of three friends. Apologize in front of at least three people. If your apology is not accepted, do it again in front of at least three people. And if that's not accepted, do it again in front of at least three people. That's your maximum obligation. Yashar al-Anashim is interpreted to have a line of people from the Lashon of Shura and say three things. Chatati, I sinned. Yashar aveti, I have perverted justice. Lo shaveli, and I did something which was not right, which was not the proper thing to do. So therefore, take a line of people, which is three, apologize three times. And where Yosef Hanina says, if you apologize to your friend, don't apologize more than three times. At a certain point, it becomes pointless. At a certain point, it becomes a joke. Up to three times might achieve your goal of appeasement. Beyond that, we're familiar with the rule of Chazaka. Three times establishes a pattern. If I really, honestly, sincerely try to appease my friend, and he doesn't listen after three times, then nothing's going to work. And we see this from Yosef's brothers who say, Ana, one, sana, two, and biata sana, three expressions of requesting forgiveness from Yosef. Be a mate. What if you wrong someone and he died? Maybe I'll serve any other man, I'll kivro, be omer, chatati, lashem, lokesho, lofloni, shechavalti bo. Then you bring a minion of people and you go to his grave and say, I sinned to Hashem and to this fellow and I'm sorry, and that is the best that one can do. There's a lot to analyze in this. But first, let's look at some stories. Rabbi Yirmiyah Havelei Milta, Rabbi Abba Hadei. These are stories of people making up. Rabbi Yirmiyah was a object of the wrath of Rabbi Abba. Also, ate of a dash of Rabbi Abba. So he went and sat at Rabbi Abba's gate, hoping to be able to meet up with him and talk it over. Bahadi b'shadya amte maya matzah zifah demaya reisha. When Rabbi Abba's maidservant, Rabbi Abba's cleaning lady, was doing sponja, and she threw a sponge of the water off of the merpeset. Some of the water, the dirty water from the sponge, fell on Rav Yirmiyah. Amar Suni ka Ashba, he says, they're making me like a garbage heap. Kari anafshe me Ashbot yor Rav Yom. He said, that's okay. Because the Pasuk says, me Ashbot yor Rav Yom. Once I'm an Ashba, once I'm lowered and humbled as a garbage heap, Hashem will doubtlessly raise me up. And in fact, that's what happened. Shamar Rav Yavav Nafu Ba'afe Yomalei Hashat Shrichel Meifek Adaitak Tiv Lechit Rapes Rahab Riyacha. Rav Yavav heard that Rav Yirmiyah was like a garbage heap, and he knew that now he had to apologize. So he went and greeted him and says, now I have to appease you. As it says, go humble yourself and appease your friend. Rabbi Zeira, ki havi lamilta v'havi inish, havi chola v'tani l'kanei amamtzilei, ki heichi d'neiti v'neipi levi daite. Rabbi Zeira, when he had a dispute with anyone, he would walk by again and again and become available to that person, so that the person could come and apologize to him. So we see that the Amoraim took pains when they had a dispute with someone to go, to be in proximity to them so that they could make up. And the most famous story of this is Rav. Rav Havli Milta Hadiyahu Tabcha. Rav had an argument with the butcher. Lo Atatameh, the butcher did not come to apologize to Rav. I think we can safely assume just knowing Rav, but we can certainly safely assume, once we get to the end of the story, that Rav was right and the butcher was wrong. Right? Rav was one of the greatest of the Amoraim. The butcher, we'll see later on, was somewhat of an unsavory character. So the butcher insulted Rav, and not bring it to the butcher to apologize. But he didn't. Then Malagom de Chikuri Amar Iu Ezel Anofuse Lay. Rav, on Erev Yom Kippur, said, the butcher didn't come to me. I'll have to go to the butcher and appease him. Pagabi Rav Huna Amalei Lehechaz Amar. Rav Huna says, where are you going? Amalei Lefuse Upanya. To appease this fellow, this butcher. Amar Ezel Abba Lemikdal Nafsha. Rav Huna predicted that Abba, that was the personal name of Rav, Rav was going to kill someone. Rav didn't quite understand exactly what this meant. He thought he was going to be a big tzaddik and apologize to the guy when the guy should have apologized to him. So he got Abba Lekami Labay. He went and stood on top of the butcher. The butcher was chopping a head of an animal. I assume in the head, the skull bone of the animal is a very serious bone, and it takes a lot of force to chop that up. So he lifted up his eyes and saw Rav, and of course he should have said, I'm so sorry, I can't believe you came to me, I should have come to you, Bechuli. Instead, Amalei Abba Ad, he said, oh, you're Abba, using his first name, which is exceedingly inappropriate. And Zil, let me mint about that. So he called him by his first name and says, get out of here, I want nothing to do with you. Okay, at that point, we could probably predict what might happen to the butcher. Bahadi the Kapali Resha Shamit Garma. As he was chopping the head, a certain bone flew off based on the force of his chopping. Maki Bakoli hit him in the throat, the cutle, and he died. And in fact, Rav was going to kill this butcher, who I think we can agree deserved it, because Rav went with Nimi Shuret and didn't make up with him, and his chutzpah was unparalleled. One last story about Rav, and then we're ready to figure out what does and doesn't make sense about this Gemara. Rav al Pasuk Sidra Kami de Rebbe. Rav was learning the Parsha in front of Rebbe. He was reading the Parsha in front of Rebbe. Rebbe Yehuda Nasi, his teacher. Ayelot Rav Chiya, Hadul Reisha. Rav Chiya came in the middle, so Rav started from the beginning, so Rav Chiya would hear the whole thing. Ayel Bar Kapar, Hadul Reisha. Bar Kapar came in, he started again from the beginning. Ato Rav Shimon de Rebbe, Hadul Reisha. Rav Shimon, the son of Rebbe, came in. Rav started again from the beginning. Okay, if you or I were Rav, even if Rav was Rav, we'll see. At a certain point, you'd be losing patience. You know, this is his fourth time starting. Ato Rav Chanin Bar Chama, Rav Chanin Bar Chama came in. Amar Kuli Hayned Rav Nezel. Rav said to himself, am I going to start again so many times? Lo Hadar, he continued where he was. He didn't start again for Rav Chanin Bar Chama. Ikvid Rav Chanin, Rav Chanina was angry at him. Rav Chanina held it against him. So other Rav Gabi placer Mali Yom Tchipur Vloifayas. Rav went to apologize for Rav Chanin Bar Chama for not starting the parsha again 13 years Erev Yom Kippur. And Rav Chanin Bar Chama would not forgive him. So the Gemara asked, hold on. Remember the Mishnah that we started with above the Kama? You're not supposed to be cruel. Hechi Yavid Hachi, Va'am Rav Yotzer Chanina Kolom Bakish Matu Mechayel Yavakish Mene Yotzer Shalosh Ba'am. I'm sorry. First they asked on Rav. How could Rav have asked 13 times? Didn't we learn that anyone who apologized to their friend shouldn't apologize more than three times? Rav Shani. Okay, this either means Rav was different, he was very machmir, or the Raman says it means your Rebbe is different. Since Rav Chanina Bar Chama was his teacher, he has to ask Mechila an infinite number of times. Av Rav Chanina Hethi Av Hachi, how can Rav Chanina be so cruel? V'ha'amar Rabba Kol Amar Rav Lidosa Mavir Mol Kol Pshad. Don't we know if you forgive others, then Hashem forgives your sins? Why would Rav Chanina be so cruel and unforgiving? The answer is, of course, no one, not even a teacher of Torah, not even someone whose covenant of Torah was insulted, should be unforgiving and should be cruel and should be inflexible. Rather, Rav Chanina Bar Chama had a special reason here. Interesting reason. He had a dream that they hung Rav from a palm tree. Now, okay, many of us in the audience are not experts in dream interpretation. We might think it's a very bad dream to be hung from a palm tree. But you have to know a few rules of dream interpretation, and one of the rules of yeshiva dream interpretation is that being hung for a palm tree means you become a Rosh Yeshiva. So he saw Rav was going to become a Rosh Yeshiva, but he wasn't sure exactly how that would work. Rashi suggests that he himself was a Rosh Yeshiva, and he didn't want to be knocked off to make room for a new Rosh Yeshiva. So there was no room for Rav to be Rosh Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael. So Gemir called this Vur B'dikla Reishahavi. We have a tradition that anyone hung from a palm tree in a dream would be Rosh Yeshiva. Amar Shmami Nebbar the Mamed Rosh Yusa. He deduced that Rav would be Rosh Yeshiva. V'lo Yifayis Kehef V'leiz of the Lagmo Rites of Bavel. Therefore, he fought with Rav. He wouldn't make up with Rav. He made Rav uncomfortable. So that Rav would go teach Torah in Bavel and be the Rosh Yeshiva there. because that was the place that needed Rav for a Rosh Yeshiva. So therefore, Chanim Bar Chama would have forgiven Rav. Here he had a special reason, which needn't concern us right at this moment. What do we learn from this Gemara that we didn't know from the Mishnayot? Number one, Erev Yom Kippur. Doesn't say anywhere in the Mishnah to apologize on Erev Yom Kippur. In the Gemara, we see that Rav went to the butcher on Erev Yom Kippur. And we see that Rav went to Rav Chanin Bar Chama on 13 Erev Yom Kippurs. Arvei Yom Kippur. Two, we see the Chiddush at the beginning of this Gemara. Amar B'Yitzchak, Kalamakneh et Chaveru afil b'dvarim tzorech l'faiso. Anyone who insults their friend, even with words, needs to appease them. Even if you only annoyed someone with words, you need to appease them. Three, what else do we see from this Gemara that we wouldn't have known on our own? Anyone? What did you learn from this Gemara that you wouldn't have known from the Mishnayot? What's that as a proper behavior, as a Midah Chasidot? Exactly, that Rav went to the butcher, right? Rav didn't wait for the butcher to go to him, Rav went to the butcher, and it wasn't just Rav. Rav is in a very unique case where Zero also, whenever someone did something to him, would go present himself to the fellow. So we also know that Rav went to the butcher. The Rambam in number 5 quotes a number of these. And the Rambam brings down this Gemara in the context of the Mishnah, which preceded it by an omen and a half, by a daf and a half rather. Ein atshuv lo yikupur mechapen, says the Rambam, el al averus ben adam lemakom. Kiyom mishachad var aser obal bi lasur chutz behem. Shuv and Yom Kippur only mechapen for averus ben adam lemakom, like eating tray for illicit sexual relations. Aval averus ben adam lechaveiro kon achov lechaveiro mekal lechaveiro goes lo kiyotz behem. But averus ben adam lechaveiro, like battering your fellow or cursing him or robbing him. Okay? Tonight we will not discuss why he picks these three examples. You'll never be forgiven until you pay what you owe and apologize. Even after you return the money, you still have to apologize and ask for mechila. And here's the Gemara. Even if you only offended someone with words, you have to appease him and beg for forgiveness. Okay, then he quotes the rest of the Gemara. If he doesn't want to, you try 3 times. We recall that from the Gemara. The Shulchan Aruch in number 6 is very similar. Yom Kippur won't help till you apologize. Even if you only offended your friend verbally, tzarech l'faiso. Vim einom espais b'rishona. Yatzor v'yelepam shnei v'shlishis. V'kol pam yikachimo shlosh anashim. Vim einom espais b'shlosha pam einom zakut lo. He paskins this Gemara l'halacha. If one time doesn't work, go a second and third. And 3rd time, each time take 3 people. V'im ha'yorabot tzarech le'elecho kam pamachi pious. He interprets Rav Shaini. If it was your Rebbe, you have to keep going until he agrees to forgive you. Okay, now we're ready to roll up our sleeves and ask some questions. And I'll start with 3 questions. Number 1, even if you only offend someone with words, you have to appease them. What's so bad about offending someone with words? Is it an aveira to offend someone with words? I understand. The Rambam says, gozel at first, chovel, mikalel. If I just say something that annoys you, is that an aveira? Why do I have to apologize? What's the aveira? Anyone want to answer my first question? Louder? Perhaps a nasavarim. Okay. Right, man was not the first to think of that answer. The Mishnah Berurah says this in number 7, Sorech Lefaiso, the Gam Bazeh Avar Al Isser Donas Devarim. That's what the Mishnah Berurah says. Why do I have to? What's the Chiddush of Afilu Knito El Devarim? What's the Chiddush that even if I merely offended someone with words, I have to apologize? The Chiddush is that I violated the law of Onas Devarim, of oppressing someone verbally, and therefore, in order to get kapara for the law of Onas Devarim, I have to apologize. Is that a big chiddush? Not a terribly big chiddush. One of the 365 negative commandments in the Torah. One of the 365 lavim. But I guess the chiddush is, even though this is a small lav, it's a lav she'im bo maaseh, it's a lav which is very subtle, nonetheless, I still have to do tshuva properly and apologize to my friend. Okay. I don't know if I'm completely satisfied. That's the Chiddush. The Chiddush is that even if I do the lav of onas devarim, I still have to do proper tshuva. But we'll grant the Mishnah Berurah his answer. Second question. If I sin, when is a good time to do tshuva? Anyone? Then Kessel Asur. Okay, when's a better time to do tshuva? Right away. It's always a good time to do tshuva. You should always do tshuva. So why do you only go apologize in Erev Yom Kippur? Why don't you apologize right away? Why wait for Erev Yom Kippur? Why wait for Erev Yom Kippur? Why shouldn't I apologize right away? Why did Rav go to Rav Chanin Bar Chama 13 years Erev Yom Kippur? He should have gone every day, 13 days, then he would have moved to Babel a lot quicker. So why am I waiting? So, answer is the Mishnah Berurah, number 7. Sarach Faisal, will start again. Mishnah Berurah asks two questions. A, what's so bad about offending someone with words? His answer is, Degam Bazeh Avar al Isur Donat Devarim. He violated the prohibition of Onas Devarim. B, why wait till Erev Yom Kippur? So he says, Vehine, Afa Pishagam Bashar Yimot Hashanah Mechoyah Bifayis Misha Pasha Kenegdo. Mishnah Berurah says, Enachanami, you're right, you don't have to wait for Erev Yom Kippur. This is not a unique din for Erev Yom Kippur. This is a general rule, any day of the year. You are obligated, there is a chiyuv, probably a chiyuv de'oraita, tshuva is counted as a mitzvah de'oraita by most Rishonim. Every day of the year there's a chiyuv to go and apologize to your friend if you wronged him. Every day is a good day for tshuva. Every day you're chayav to do tshuva. No one thinks, if a guy comes up to you and says, Rabbi, it's first day of Sukkot, I just did an Avera. Should I wait for Erev Yom Kippur? Of course not. Do tshuva right away. However, the Mishnah Berurah continues, Mikol Makom, Im Ein Lo Pnai, but if you don't have time all year long, you might get lazy, you might get distracted, that's the way of the world. The way of the world is you should always, ideally, be perfect, and you should always do everything right, but you don't always get around to it. Mikol Makom, Ein Lo Pnai, Umantin Lefaiso Yom Acher, all year long, you should apologize to your friend right away, but you're busy and this and that, and you're a little embarrassed and uncomfortable and awkward, and so you wait for another day. All year long, you push it off. So that's the nature, that's human nature. Of all the Erev Yom Kippurim, Mechuyiv L'Taken HaKol. It's not a special mitzvah in Erev Yom Kippur. It's a mitzvah every day. Erev Yom Kippur is the deadline. You can push it off, you can delay, you can make excuses. At a certain point, the buck stops, and that is Yom Kippur. Erev Yom Kippur, you must do tshuva and fix everything. In order to be purified of your sins, on this day, this is the day of Kapara, on Erev Yom Kippur, that's the deadline. Perhaps he means here to hint to the opinion of Rabbeinu Yonah in the Shari Tshuva, who says the mitzvah d'oraisa of tshuva applies primarily on Yom Kippur, and he reads Lefnei Hashem Tidharu, not as a promise, not as a haftacha. Hashem says, I'll purify you before me, but as an obligation. You should purify yourself on Yom Kippur. But perhaps more likely, he understands like the Rambam. The Rambam says the mitzvah to do tshuva every day, but in Hilchos Tshuva, Perek Beis, he says, Yom HaKippur Muzman Tshuva L'Kol L'Yachol Rabin, V'hu Keitz Mechilo Shlichol Yisrael, L'Fika Chayav Makol L'Asos Tshuva L'Svados B'Yom HaKippurim. The Rambam says it's always a mitzvah to do tshuva. However, Yom Kippur is the day, which is the case, the end, the deadline. That's the end, the deadline for Mechila, for Selicha. And therefore, if you didn't do tshuva all year long, the deadline is Yom Kippur. Likewise, the Sefer Achinuch. Some of us learned the Sefer Achinuch together a few days ago. The Sefer Achinuch says that it's always a mitzvah aseh to do tshuva. But when have you been mevatel? When have you violated the mitzvah aseh? When has the deadline passed? If it comes to Yom Kippur and you still don't do tshuva, then the deadline is passed, the buzzer buzzes, and you have violated the mitzvah aseh. So, explains the Mishnah Berurah, he answers our first two questions. A, what's unique about insulting someone, offending them with words? Mishnah Berurah says nothing unique really. It just means if you do any aveira, and one of the aveiros is or not tavarim, is hurting someone with your words. B, what's special about Erev Yom Kippur? So, you see the pattern here. There's nothing special about Erev Yom Kippur either. You should always apologize to your friend. It's just that you delay and you stall and the deadline comes and Erev Yom Kippur is the deadline. Let's just ask one third question then. Why did Rav have to go to the butcher? Now you will say, Rav had to go to the butcher, so the butcher would apologize and be forgiven. But any of us who come to shul, if you make it to shul on time, on Yom Kippur night, before Kol Nidre, what do we say? Tefillah Zaka. Okay. If Rav had said Tefillah Zaka, what could Rav have said? My machzor, I don't know if it's like this in all machzors. I have a fancy machzor with a perush on the bottom. And it has a little asterisk in Tefillah Zaka. And the little asterisk says, it's a mesorah from the Chafetz Chaim, that this part of Tefillah Zaka is the most important part of Tefillah Zaka, even though it's all the way at the end. So Tefillah Zaka, this long, very, very beautiful, inspiring tefillah, that if you come to shul before Kol Nidre, you'll have time to say and be inspired and improve your Yom Kippur. It's a beautiful tefillah with a lot of important ideas. But there's a mesorah, Chafetz Chaim said, there's one part that's the most crucial, but it's all the way at the end. We're all a little late, we get there, we have 5 minutes till Kol Nidre, we don't hit the most crucial part. So in my machzor at home, the little star at the bottom that says, Chafetz Chaim says to say this part at the beginning instead of the end, to make sure that you get to it, even if you came a little late and you're not going to get through the whole Tefillah Zaka. All right, we should try to come early and say the whole Tefillah Zaka. But it's always good to listen to the asterisks in the machzor. Say this part first. What does this part say? So it's right here, number 8. I hereby am mochel wholeheartedly anyone who sinned against me. Okay? For many of us, this is familiar. You don't need Tefillah Zaka from every night Kriya Shema Shalamita. But Tefillah Zaka is perhaps more poignant. Bein begufo, bein mamono, o shedibur la'lashon hara, whether it's personal, whether it's financial, whether it's lashon hara, filo tzah shema, chen chomi shehizikli begufi mamono, anyone who damaged me. Anyone who did anything to me, I forgive. Unless I'm going to sue them. Then I have the right to sue them. I don't have to forgive them. Etc. And then we dive into Hashem. We say, look, if I forgave the people who wronged me, Mida Kenegan Mida, Hashem, please forgive me. And if I did something wrong to someone else, inspire him in his heart to forgive me for it. Okay? Beautiful idea. The Chafetz Chaim says that of all of Tefillah Zaka, this is the only paragraph with strict halachic valence. And therefore, you should make sure to say it because you don't want Chas V'Sholem and Yom Kippur. There'll be some guy who's doing a great job of tshuva and davening all day, really inspired, changing his life. And up in Shemayim, they say, oh, this guy, he's great. He would get written in the book of all the brachos, except what he did to Bednarsh. Bednarsh didn't forgive him. So that's it. Sefer HaMavos. You don't want you to cause someone to be in the wrong book on Yom Kippur. Who knows how they'll look at you in Shemayim? Therefore, it's important to say this. Now, this brings up an interesting question. Okay, Tefillah Zaka wasn't around in the time of the Gemara. Tefillah Zaka wasn't written 1,800 years ago. But Rav was smart enough that he could have figured out what it says in Tefillah Zaka. It's not rocket science. And the Rav asked this obvious question, why did Rav have to go to the butcher? Why did Rav make such a big deal? Why did he end up killing the butcher? That wasn't his intention. But why do you have to make such a difficult confrontation? He could have just sat home in his rabbinic study and said Tefillah Zaka. He could have sat there in his chair in the Beis Medrash, the talus over his head, 2 minutes before Kol Nidre, and say, Hashem, Amocho, the butcher believe Shalom. So could Rav Zeira. Rav Zeira, if someone wronged him, why do you have to go and find the guy? Why do you have to all this awkward hinting? He went, he passed by the guy, he passed by again, he said Shalom Aleichem, he said, how's your morning, waiting for the guy to apologize. Could have just sat at home, and after Shachris one morning, said, Hashem, I forgive the fellow, and been done with it. If you need to be forgiven, if you need mechila in order to have the kapar of Yom Kippur, why not just be mocha the guy from the comfort of your own armchair? Why do you have to have the encounter and confrontation? Seems like a good question. Right? If Rav had thought of Tefillah Zaka, the butcher would have lived. So, and Rav could have thought of Tefillah Zaka. Take my word for it. So why didn't he just forgive the butcher? Why did he have to go and have a fight with him? So there must be something that asking for forgiveness, meaning it's not enough to forgive the guy, he has to ask for forgiveness. So I saw that Rav Schoenbach in his masterful compendium, the Mo'adim Uzmanim, when he discusses this sugya, he suggested that perhaps for the butcher to be forgiven, it's not enough to ask the guy for mechila. You also have to humble yourself a little. Part of the process of tshuva is, there's a Rashi like this, there's a Ravid like this, is busha, is to be embarrassed to humble yourself. Perhaps Rav knew that until the butcher humbled himself, he wouldn't really deserve forgiveness. He wouldn't deserve kapara. Okay, that's a chiddush. We never see mefurish that it says in the Gemara that embarrassing yourself is necessary to achieve kapara, but perhaps we can posit that it wasn't enough for Rav to forgive the butcher, that the butcher needed to humble himself, because until you're embarrassed, you haven't suffered enough to be forgiven for your sins. Perhaps. Okay, let us summarize what we've seen until now, and then tell a story about Rav Chaim. We saw this beautiful Gemara, Rav, the butcher, Erev Yom Kippur. We had three questions, and possibly we haven't really been satisfied by the answer to these three questions. Again, number one, what's this whole big deal, this chiddush of machnin afilu b'dvarim, offending with words? If the Mishnah Berurah says, it's a lav, if it's a lav, then it's a lav. We already know that. What's the chiddush? Number two, what's special about Erev Yom Kippur? Mishnah Berurah says nothing, but it's the deadline. Could be. Number three, why did Rav go to the butcher? Why not just say tefillah zaka? If I can do it and you can do it, Rav could have done it. Why not just forgive the butcher? Why is it necessary to have an encounter, to have a confrontation? So perhaps the butcher had to suffer a little embarrassment. Perhaps to be forgiven, you need to suffer a little. Or perhaps there's another approach. And this other approach was, okay, there are other achronim who thought of this as well, even at the very end of this Daf Makorot, but there's a story of Rav Chaim. There's actually two famous Rav Chaim stories in one. Rav Chaim and the butcher. I don't know why it's always a butcher. Is it just in a Shemayim, Rav and the butcher, Rav Chaim and the butcher? Or is it like the Ramban says in Parshat Ki Tetzeh, that butchers, with all their shechting, end up hardening their hearts and having bad midos? I don't know. But Rav Chaim had an issue with the butcher. There was a din Torah, a tough butcher versus someone else. We don't have a Masorah who the other fellow was. That butcher and someone else fought about a decent sum of money. And if you've ever been to a Beis Din, I hope not, hope you never have to go to a Beis Din for Dine Mamonos. But if you've ever been to a Beis Din, the first question they ask you in a din Torah is, would you like to sign a shtar requesting pshara? Would you agree to pshara, compromise? And this butcher said, compromise? I'm not compromising, I'm right. I'm 100% right. Why should I compromise? I'm right, I deserve to win. Refuse to compromise. Happened in the end, of course. No. Pride. In stories, certainly pride always goes before the fall. In real life, usually also. But pride here went before the fall, and the butcher lost the case. Rav Chaim and the other two Dayanim paskined against him. And he lost a couple thousand rubles. So the butcher was so upset. The butcher said, I can't believe you did this to me. What kind of sheker, what kind of ivut ha-din, what perversion of justice, what kind of kangaroo court is this? Rav Chaim said, look, we offered you pshara, we tried. You know, you did this, you brought this upon yourself. The butcher was not happy to hear that, and he started calling Rav Chaim names that I wouldn't want to repeat about Rav Chaim. He said, you're a goddess, you're a thief, you probably were bribed. I know what kind of crooked justice you dispense here. And he started insulting Rav Chaim to the point where the fellow wouldn't shut up. Rav Chaim had to say, chutzpah, chatzuf, get out of my Beis Din, you chutzpahdik. Rav Chaim kicked him out of Beis Din and called him chatzuf. Called him a chutzpahdik butcher. Okay, time went by. There's another story, Agav. I should mention part of the story that the Rav actually learns a lot of wonders from this other part of the story. In he was part of the beginning Sanhedrin and a few other places, that Rav Simcha Zelig Rieger, who was the Dayan of the main posik of Brisk, Rav Chaim was the biggest lamdan, Rav Simcha Zelig was his partner, he was the posik. He asked Rav Chaim, he says, I don't understand what happened to the butcher here. The butcher wasn't always such a bad guy. Just a couple weeks ago, he came with a shayla, he shechted a big, big ox. And he had a shayla about whether it was kosher or treif. And it was worth thousands of rubles, the same amount of money. And you and I sat up all night trying to find some way to be makel, so we felt so bad for this tremendous loss of money. We'd lose months of parnasa. And we couldn't find a way to be makel. And we had to paskin the cow was trait. And this butcher said, "Thank you, rabbis, for paskinning," and went home. He wasn't angry. He used to be Yiri Shemayim. He was willing to lose a lot of money in order to keep the halacha. And now all of a sudden, when he loses some money, he starts cursing out the rabbanim. What happened to the butcher? What changed? And Rav Chaim smiled and told Rav Zelig, no, nothing changed about the butcher. You don't understand. Losing money, he can handle. Losing 5,000, he could have handled losing 10,000 rubles. And he would have said, but it's the right thing to do with the will of Hashem, I'll make the sacrifice. Losing money didn't make him upset. The other fellow winning, that's what made him upset. He could handle losing the money. He couldn't handle the other guy being right and him being wrong. And if you look in the Shirim of the Rav, he points out that perhaps this is one of the reasons for the many differences in halacha between Dine Isur V'Heter and Dine Mamonos, why there's a completely different procedure and conceptual framework for judging monetary cases and for judging questions of kashrus and tarfus that are worth the same amount of money. Because money is just money, that's easier to paskin. When it comes to Dine Mamonos, you're not just paskining money, you're paskining who wins and who loses. And that's a much more serious issue. But getting back to our issue. Time went by, a couple of weeks, a month went by. I think this event was perhaps in the summer month of Av. 2 months later was Tishrei, Erev Yom Kippur. Half hour before Kol Nidrei, Rav Chaim gathered three of his sons, including the Rav's father, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, and said, "It's time to go apologize to the butcher." And he went, he finally found the butcher, and he tried to apologize to him once. The butcher said, "No way, you crook." He tried to apologize to him twice. And he said, you crooked judge who accept bribes. Tried to apologize to him three times. The butcher said, you murderer, you thief, you bank robber. Get out of here. And Rav Chaim left. We don't know what happened to the butcher over that Yom Kippur. Although, I wouldn't have wanted to be in his place. On the way home, his sons asked Rav Chaim, they said, "Abba," probably said Tati, "why did you apologize to the butcher? You didn't do anything wrong, you didn't do an Aveira, you don't have to do tshuva. Why do you have to apologize to the butcher? I understand if you do an Aveira, Beit Adam Machadero, you have to apologize your friend and ask for forgiveness. You didn't do anything wrong, he did something wrong." And Rav Chaim said to his sons, you misunderstand. You think the reason for apologizing on Erev Yom Kippur is because of Averos. You think the minhag to ask for mechila, to appease one's friend on Erev Yom Kippur, is part of the process of tshuva for Averos. Rav Chaim says, "Don't worry. Rav Bednarz in the whole room here thought that for 45 minutes as well. I understand your mistake, but it's not correct." He says, "Look at Rav. Why did Rav go to the butcher?" Rav went to the butcher, explained Rav Chaim, because the reason we apologize in Erev Yom Kippur is not merely, it's also true that you have to apologize if you did an Aveira, is not merely because of Averos. That's the reason all year long, if I do an Aveira, I have to apologize. But on Erev Yom Kippur, he said, look at the language of the Gemara, afilo lo etnita el v'dvarim, even if he only annoyed his friend with words. Every time you annoy your friend with words, is that an Aveira? If Rav didn't restart the parsha for Rav Chanina Bar Chama, is that an Aveira? Did he violate one of the 365 mitzvot? Lo tase? Remember, Rabbi Abba had to appease Rav Yirmiyah when his cleaning lady accidentally sponged some water on him. Did he do an Aveira that then he had to apologize because his cleaning lady was sponging and didn't realize someone was standing under the merpeset? Rav Chaim said, Erev Yom Kippur is a second din. The brisket is called a Tzvei Dinim. There are two reasons to apologize to your friend. One is if you do an Aveira, part of Tshuva is apologizing. That's two Mishnayos, one in Bava Kamma, one in Yoma. Second is the drasha of Rav Yitzchak, Lechit Rapeis Rahav Re'echa. Even if you merely offended someone, maybe you were right for offending them, maybe you were wrong for offending them, but even if you were right, you still offended them. Even if you were right, there's still bad blood between you. Even if you are right, you still don't get along. You still don't like one another. There's still sinna. There's still hatred between Jews. It's everyone's responsibility on Erev Yom Kippur to go apologize and bring peace between man and his fellow man and make up and mend the relationship. Nothing to do with who's right or who's wrong or who did an aveira or who did not. This is actually explicit in the Sfas Emes, number 11, he says. Rav Chanina was angry at Rav. Rav didn't do an aveira. He didn't have to restart the parsha every time another fellow walked in. However, he insulted Rav Chanina by restarting for Afia and Rav Shimon bar Rabbi and Bar Kapara, not for him. Inami, perhaps Rav didn't insult Rav Chanina by restarting for everyone else, not him. Or, even though Rav was right and Rav Chanina was wrong for being angry at Rav, Rav still had to go apologize in Erev Yom Kippur. The mashma to be Yom Kippurin, ikekpeda sheif payis achadim chaviro, ve'ena kutam atzedek imo v'masha hikpid olav olo, mikal makom tzrichim l'payis. The Sfas Emes said exactly what Rav Chaim told his sons on the way back to shul for Kol Nidre from the butcher shul. He said, all year long, you only have to apologize if you did an aveira and have to do tshuva. On Yom Kippur, there's a special drasha, Reikit Rapes Rahav Reyecha, there's a special obligation to apologize whether you are wrong and he was right, or whether you are right and he was wrong. Right and wrong is not the issue. The issue is not being right. The issue is getting along and being together and achdut. And therefore, even though Rav Chanina had no right to be angry at Rav, Rav still went and apologized, and therefore back to the butcher. Rav could have forgiven the butcher, and the butcher would have been forgiven of his sin. And that would have been good enough all year long. For all we know, Rav did forgive the butcher on Chanukah time or Purim time. That's good enough until Yom Kippur. That's one din. That's the din of tshuva, of kapara. You don't care if you tshuva and get kapara until you're forgiven. But when Erev Yom Kippur came, Rav realized there was a second din. On Erev Yom Kippur, we have to get along. We have to be together. We have to mend our relationships. And sitting home and saying Kol Nidre would not have helped. If Rav had sat in his base medrash and said, I forgive the butcher, maybe the butcher would have been forgiven. But the relationship would still have been sour. He didn't fix the relationship. They didn't get along yet. Therefore, he had to go to the butcher thinking he had a chance of fixing the relationship. Although, of course, he was tragically wrong, as we learned. This idea is found in many midrashim quoted by the Ashkenazic Rishonim, the Rishonim Ashkenaz, in the last parak of Yoma. For example, number 9, the Mordechai says, Minah Gavakish Mechila Erev Yom Kippur. There's a minah to ask for Mechila on Erev Yom Kippur. Why? He doesn't say, because you did an aveira and have to do tshuva. Says, Kedam Minah B'medrash Shuvi Yisrael. Yitbarach Shomi Dal Zech, when we praise Hashem, Shumachavid this Yisrael. I'm reading number 9 at the end of the first line. Who loves the Jews, V'tikam L'maser Yimei Tshuva. And he gave them Aseret Yimei Tshuva. And what do we know about Aseret Yimei Tshuva? Dershu Hashem behimatz o kra'uhu biyoso karov. When is Hashem karov? Eilu asar yamim shebein Rosh Hashanah liyom HaKippurim. What's the nafkamina? Anyone remember the Gemara? Of Hashem being karov on Aseret Yimei Tshuva? That all year long Hashem accepts the tshuva and the tefillah of the tzibur. All year long Hashem accepts the tzibur's request, the tzibur's prayers. But on Aseret Yimei Tshuva, on Yom Kippur, he even accepts the Yachid's prayers. Why? Sha'afilu Yachid osa tshuva and mekam tshuvasu ketshuva tzibur. Why? And this is the secret the Rav revealed when he explained his grandfather's stance. The Rav said, what's the secret of Yom Kippur? The secret of Yom Kippur is not that I have protected you on Yom Kippur and Hashem is going to forgive me, or that you have an advantage in Yom Kippur and Hashem will forgive you. The secret of Yom Kippur is that Yom Kippur is a day when even the Yachid is like the Tzibur, because Yom Kippur is the day when we all stand before Hashem as a Tzibur. Yom Kippur is the day of Yud Gimel Midah Harachamim. Hashem Hashem Kel Rachim Mechanim. We only say Yud Gimel Midah Harachamim Bitzibor. Hine anochi koreis beris, neged kol amecha. Hashem gave a brit, a covenant. If we daven Yom Kippur davening, We do tshuva, we say the Yud Gimel Midah Rachamim, He'll forgive us. That's not a covenant with me or with you. That's a covenant with us. Neged kol amcha asa nifla'ot. That's a covenant between Hashem and Am Yisrael. That's why when Hashem taught Moshe the Yud Gimel Midos, Hashem appeared to him in the guise of a shliach tzibur. Hashem said, when the tzibur wants to be forgiven, they can daven Yom Kippur. Ah, how are my sins forgiven? Very nice for the tzibur. If we worship the egel, daven to Hashem, be forgiven. If we listen to the miraglim, daven to Hashem, be forgiven. What if I did something wrong? I have a whole list of things. I did the wrong all on my own. How am I forgiven on Yom Kippur? Easy. On Yom Kippur, we are forgiven. The magic of Yom Kippur explains the Rav. There are many, many, many questions that the Rav answers with this yesod, with this principle. On Yom Kippur, we are forgiven because each one of us is not just an individual standing before Hashem. Each one of us is part of a tzibur. We're united as one community of Am Yisrael. When we're united on Yom Kippur as one community, then Hashem says, I made a promise to Am Yisrael. Daven in front of me on Yom Kippur and you will be forgiven. And so explains the Medrash quote in the Mordechai. Lefika tzrichin kol Yisrael lahachzir b'tshuva. We have to do tshuva. V'lasot sholem ben ish l'riyehu v'lim kol zel azeh v'erev Yom Kippurim. On Erev Yom Kippur, we have to make peace with one another and forgive one another. Why? Nothing to do with Averos. Kadesh titkabel tshuvaton tefilaton tzeikadosh baruch hu b'shalom v'chiba. So that Hashem will accept our tefillah with shalom. If you want Hashem to accept your tefillah, we want Hashem to accept our tefillot as the tefillah of one united people, then we need to be united, we need to be together, we need to be at peace with one another, we need to love one another. And that means forget who's right and who's wrong. Just go and appease your friend and try to make things better. Then he quotes, the Rush quotes a similar medrash. Number 10. Notice the Lashon of the Rush. What I found in my short years of my career and learning is that all the greatest Kedushim of the Achronim, the most brilliant Reb Chaims, whether it be Sfas Emesis or Reb Chaims, you could be a Litvak, you could be a Chassid, they're all diyukim in the Lashon of the Rishonim, if you read the Lashon of the Rishonim carefully. What did the Rush say? The Yasam Adam number 10 at Libor Yom Kippur, please pay attention, he says. Make sure at Yom Kippur, the Fayez Kaladim, to appease anyone. He does not say to apologize to anyone who you did an Aveira to. He doesn't say apologize to someone who you've wronged. He doesn't say apologize to someone if you committed a sin. Kol Adam Shenotir Lo Eva, anyone who dislikes you, anyone who hates you. Maybe it's my fault he hates you. Maybe I'm innocent, I'm a tzaddik. Maybe it's his fault he hates me because he's a bad person like the butcher. Doesn't matter, said the Rush. On Erev Yom Kippur, it's not Midin Aveira. It's Midin Shalom on Yom Kippur. It's Midin Tzibur on Yom Kippur. And therefore, if someone resents me, whether right or wrong, even if I only annoy them with words, with innocent words, with mutter words, with appropriate words, even if Rav Chaim annoyed the butcher by saying, Chatzuf, get out of my bezdin. And Rav Chaim was a million, trillion, gazillion percent right, and the butcher was even more percent wrong. Nonetheless, Rav Chaim annoyed the butcher with words, the butcher resented him, Rav Chaim had to go apologize on Erev Yom Kippur. Like Rav apologized 13 times to Rav Chanina, even though Rav didn't do an Aveira. Rav Mina Nami Hatam, Rav Havalei Milta Vadi Otab Chanokle Tracer Like Rav, he waited all year long, and then he went to apologize to the butcher. Why? Nothing to do with right or wrong, so that all Jews, our hearts, should be at peace, should be whole with one another, so that we should be one united people, and not fractured and divided. And then he brings a beautiful medrash, to the east of Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer. Ras amosol motzah chet Yisrael b'yom kippurim. The Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer explains how we defeat the Satan, Samuel being the Satan in Yom Kippur. He saw he had no Averos. From a Ribon HaOlam, and he admitted, he gave in. He conceded defeat. Ribon HaOlam, Yesh Tocham Echad K'malachi Asharis. He would never have been elected district attorney in New York if he conceded. But he had no choice. He said, Hashem, I have no choice but to concede. These people are like angels. Angels do not wear shoes, the Jews don't wear shoes on Yom Kippur. Okay. The angels don't have knees, they don't sit, the Jews stand all day in Yom Kippur. All right, see that? Standing in davening, working hard. Don't eat and drink. The Jews fast on Yom Kippur. That's a tremendous zechus and an experience of holiness. But just like the angels in heaven have shalom between them, so too look at the Jews on Yom Kippur. They put aside their petty disputes. They stop worrying about who's right and who's wrong, and they make peace between themselves and unite in front of me, in front of Hashem. If the Jews do that, the Satan has to admit, just like the angels are innocent and blameless, so too the Jews have to emerge innocent from Yom Kippur. The Rav pointed out, we say this in the Machzor, say Yom Simas, Ava v'Shalom. It's a day of many things, Yom Kippur. It's a day of fasting, it's a day we don't wear shoes, it's a day we don't wash, we don't anoint, etc. It's the day when we make peace and love in between us. And that, explained the Rav in the name of his grandfather of Chaim, is because the secret of Yom Kippur is, look at Avodat Yom Kippurim. No one brings a carbon on Yom Kippur. It's an Avodat Tzibur. The Tzibur, the Jewish nation united as one, brings the carbonos of Avodat Yom Kippurim. The secret power of Yom Kippur lies in its communal nature, lies in the fact that Hashem made us a promise as a Tzibur, and to be a Tzibur, we have to be at peace with one another, and we have to prepare for that on Erev Yom Kippur. I might point out as well, even though the Rav wouldn't have liked, he never liked to say the Rambam was on the other side, was not on his preferred side of the Chakira, but if you look at it, this might very well be a machlokas between Rishonei Sfarad and Rishonei Ashkenaz. The Rambam, both the Rambam number 5 and the Mechaber quoting him number 6, what are the Rambam and the Mechaber, what do the Rambam and Mechaber say? They bring down, they quote the halacha of apologizing to one's friend as a continuation of the sentence of Aveiro Shebin Allah Haveiro. They both say, you apologize if you do an Aveiro Bin Allah Haveiro. And what do both the Mechaber and the Rambam not say? They never say, you should apologize in Erev Yom Kippur. Neither of them say, perhaps the Rambam and the Mechaber held like we thought at the beginning of this evening. The Rambam and the Mechaber held the only reason for apologizing was if you did an Aveira and you need to do tshuva and be forgiven for your Aveira. And it has nothing to do with Erev Yom Kippur. That's just the deadline if you missed all the other opportunities. However, the Rama adds, at the end of 6, the Nagul of Bakish Mechil of Erev Yom Kippur. No, the minig is simply Erev Yom Kippur. And who does he quote? Last two words in number 6, Mordechai Diyoma. He quotes Arma for number 9, the Mordechai. The Ramah follows Rishonei Ashkenaz. Makes sense. The Mechaber followed the Rambam. The Ramah followed the Mordechai and the Rush. Rishonei Ashkenaz quoted, based on the Midrashi Agadah, that the reason for asking Mechila is not because of Aveiros. It's to have Achtos, to be a Tzivah on Yom Kippur. And therefore, the Ramah feels it necessary to add to the Mechaber's words, don't think, says the Ramah, I know the Mordechai, I know the Rush, and I paskin like the Mordechai and the Rush, and like these Midrashim they quote. Don't think the only reason for apologizing is because you did something wrong and need to do tshuva, even if you're right. That's good enough all year long to be right. But on Erev Yom Kippur, it's not enough to be right. You need to be unified, you need to be part of the Tzibur. And therefore, says the Ramah, the Minig is to be Mevakish, Mechila, and Erev Yom Kippur, regardless of Aveiros or not Aveiros. Because on Erev Yom Kippur, we need to mend our relationships to make ourselves a united people. May we be zocha this Yom Kippur to fulfill the understanding of the Rambam and the Mechaber and the Mishnah Brura, to do a proper tshuva for everything we've done wrong, to ask Hashem for forgiveness, and if part of that tshuva process means apologizing to those whom we have wronged, then we apologize. But let us not forget as well, in this season of practically Erev Yom Kippur, that as this season approaches, when we want Hashem to look down on us and perhaps not look so carefully at whether we're right or wrong, but just remember that we're part of His people, that He has a bris with us, that we are from Bnei Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, that we're part of Am Yisrael, and perhaps not pay so much attention to what we've done right or wrong, then before Yom Kippur, we have to transcend the question of who's right and who's wrong, and like Rav Chaim and the Sfas Emes, and the Rush and the Mordechai, and the pithy comment of the Ramah realize that at a certain point, the time has come to transcend who's right and who's wrong, to stop worrying about who is more right and who is more wrong than their fellow, and to say, look, we're all in this together. We are all Am Yisrael. We are all at Tzibur. And let us just make up, mend our relationships, and be united and together in front of Hashem, so that Hashem will decree a year of Besarot Tovot, Yeshuot V'Nechamot for us as part of all of Klal Yisrael. Gemar Chatima Tova.
Those who would like to daven Maariv will make a minyan now.